giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's a blessing to teach and proclaim the Word of God. And again, if you would, in your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read starting at verse 11 on down to verse 27. Starting at verse 11 in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, you will find these words. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Verse 24, and he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. May God bless the reading of his word. I want to call your attention to verse 13. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. And this morning we want to focus on this passage of scripture, and verse 13 in particular, there as the Holy Spirit will guide, using the message title, Kingdom Business. Kingdom Business. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. I pray, Lord God, that your word falls on ground that is receptive, that brings forth a harvest. I pray, Lord God, that these words are your words that will touch the hearts of your people, that we might go from this call, Lord God, knowing that we must be about your business, kingdom business. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, that we pray. Amen. Psalm 24, verse 1 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And when you look at that and other passages, you know that God made everything. We really own nothing. We did not come into this world with anything, and we are not going to take anything out of this world when we go. And what we say that we have, it's simply something that we get to use for the 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years that God allows us to be on this earth. But whatever it is that we have, it belongs to God. We just get to use it. And God made man to manage his resources. Now, there's a concept in business called return on investment. Return on investment measures the profit or loss generated on an investment relative to the amount of money that was originally invested. So, for example, if you have $100 that you use to buy a stock and then you sell that stock for $120 one year later, then your gain or your profit was $20 on that stock, and therefore your return on investment was 20%, because that $20 profit equates to 20% of the $100 that you originally invested. That's how you determine a return on investment in business. And when it comes to matters of the kingdom of God, there is no investor like God. As we said, God made everything and owns everything, but he has given mankind a special responsibility. And when you look at that responsibility, you will see that it is really an investment. God has invested in us all. He has invested in us life, relationships, gifts, and talents, all to do kingdom business. And he expects a return on his investment. God is expecting a return on his investment in us, his investment into the earth. God is looking for increase. It doesn't have to be enormous, but there must be some level of increase. Now, this is nothing new. Even in Genesis 1:28, God says to mankind, "Be fruitful and multiply." He was not just talking about having big families. He was talking about using what you have to work with what you have to yield a harvest to bring a return on investment. He does not tolerate the status quo. When it comes to managing what God has given, God's expectation is there to always have a profit, to always have increase, to always have addition or multiplication. And so to provide some context to our text from Luke chapter 19 this morning, just use this passage and look at before verse 11 in chapter 19. Jesus, he's been ministering to a tax collector named Zacchaeus while he was on his final trip to Jerusalem. He's going along the Jericho road that led up to Jerusalem from Jericho, and the Bible says in verse 11 that many people along the road with Jesus believed that he was going to return to Jerusalem to establish his earthly kingdom immediately. Now, a parable is a simply short story that is designed to teach or convey a spiritual truth, and Jesus launched then into a parable to teach just how his kingdom would come to prevail in the earth. And so in our text here this morning, starting at verse 12, Jesus tells the story about a rich man that went on an extended trip to be crowned king. But before the man left, he took 10 of his servants and gave them each one mina. And then the rich man departed. His last words to his disciples there in verse 13 were basically, "Do business till I come." Now, mina was a monetary unit in those days, just like the dollar is a monetary unit in our country, or a euro is a monetary unit in Europe. Mina was a large amount of money, though. It was worth about 4 months' wages for an average worker based on a six-day work week, because people in those days worked 6 days a week and rested on the Sabbath. All 10 servants received one mina each. All the servants were given the same amount. Now, sometimes people get confused with this parable and get this parable of the minas confused with the parable of the talents that's over in Matthew chapter 25. But they are quite different parables. Here in Luke chapter 19, Jesus was talking about the servants all receiving the same amount, while the other parable in Matthew chapter 25 was about the servants all receiving different amounts based on their own ability. But in both parables, though, two things are similar. All the resources, all the money was owned by the king. That's number one. And number two, there was an expectation for a return on investment. The Bible says here in verse 14 that many of the people hated the king and sent word ahead to where the man was going to oppose his being crowned, but they could not stop him from becoming king because it said in verse 15 that he did receive his kingdom. And sometime after the man was crowned king, he returned to his homeland. He came back. And the Bible says in verse 15 that the king called the 10 servants to whom he had entrusted the minas, and that he asked each of the servants how they had used the money he left with them. First servant showed that his mina had earned 10 more minas. If you do the math, that's 1,000% return on investment. The king was pleased, saying in verse 17, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities in my kingdom." Then the king calls a second servant in verse 18 and found that the second servant's investment had yielded 5 additional minas. That's a 500% return on investment. The king was pleased, and that second servant was rewarded by being placed in charge over 5 cities in his kingdom. One servant gained 1,000%. The other gained 500%. Yet the servants are humble. They take no credit for themselves. They acknowledge that they do not really own the minas, because you do see that the first servant says, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. The second servant says, your mina has earned 5 minas. These two servants show us today that you don't have to toot your own horn. Just do the work and then let your work speak for itself. These two servants took the risk of investing their master's money, and they earned a larger return on investment. They did what they were told, to do business till I return. And because they did kingdom business, they received a kingdom reward. No risk, no reward. And that is one of the key lessons of this parable to us today. No risk, no reward. Anything you do in this life carries a risk, but you are only given two options. Option one, take the risk and receive results, or option two, do not take the risk and receive nothing. God uses people who are willing to get out of their comfort zone. He uses people who are willing to take the risk based on his word. His word was, do business until I return. And that's a question that God is asking each of us. What has God called you to do, has given you permission to do, and what risk are you taking to get the job done? And specifically, when it comes to the kingdom of God, what risk are you taking in advancing the business of the kingdom? Now, in life, there are all kinds of risks, especially when it comes to the business of the kingdom. You have relationship risk, which is a risk of a broken relationship. You have family risk, which is a risk of falling out with a member of your family. You have job risk, which is a risk of losing your job. Some people have genuine life risk, a risk of losing their lives. Yet, whatever risk you are taking, know that the Lord is with you. He makes it abundantly clear that he will keep you and will help you. And if God has called you to do something, has given you permission to do something, then kingdom business will be accomplished. And when you are called to step out on faith, to take care of kingdom business, realize that your God is greater than any problem that might arise. In our parable, two servants took the risk and received the reward. But the parable does not stop there, because there was a third servant. Now, the third servant was afraid to take the risk. The third servant had the same command as the others did, the same opportunity of time as the others did, but he took the mina that the king had given him and hid it in a handkerchief. He tucked it away somewhere and did nothing with it. The Bible says that he put that mina in a handkerchief, what he thought was a safe place. But it was a place that he knew would not yield a return on investment. Maybe he thought the mina was safe, but but he effectively rendered himself unsafe because he was unsafe with the king because he failed to do business until he returned. And that is a lesson for everyone, that safety is found only in obedience to God. The only safe place is inside the will of God. And I will tell you that you are safer on a battlefield and in the will of God than off the battlefield and outside of the will of God. Because the king does return. The king does demand an accounting, and the servants will be and are being asked to make explanation for their management. Here in our text this morning, the first servant gives an account and is rewarded. The second servant gives an account and is rewarded. But then the third servant is called, and this servant does not have a report like the other two servants, because this servant has made no investment. He still has the same mina given to him as the others had been given. And sadly, that is what's going on today, that so many people have done with what has been given to them in the world and in our churches as well, hiding their mina, their gift, their talent, their contribution. They have tucked it away somewhere, thinking that somehow that would be acceptable to the king. The third servant had no vision of what could be done. He felt no concern for the growth of the kingdom or the king's property. He just wasn't interested in the business of the kingdom, and he was not looking for the king's return. He had a false security, believing that the Lord would accept him and understand him, even if he failed to use and grow what he had been given to use and grow. The king asked the third servant in verse 23, "Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest?" That's a lesson for us today. So much of what God asks us to do is simple. All this man had to do was just take that mina and put it in the bank. And for us today, if you can run for the kingdom, then run. But if you can't run, then walk. If you can walk for the kingdom, then walk. But if you can't walk for the kingdom, then crawl. But just keep it moving. Do kingdom business. So as I move to my conclusion, the king in this parable, he told his 10 servants to do business until he came back, just like Jesus has told us to do kingdom business until he comes back. And you may say, well, Jay, you've been referring to the kingdom business. What exactly is that? What is kingdom business? Kingdom business is simply the business of advancing the kingdom of God. Kingdom business is going and making disciples of all the nations. Kingdom business is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Kingdom business is teaching God's people to obey everything that he has commanded. Kingdom business is denying ungodliness and worldly lust and living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God has given us his word to be our guide in life, to make good use of it by reading it daily, learning its meaning more and more, and obeying it faithfully. That is kingdom business. He has given us the right to come before him in prayer, to make good use of it by praying often about everything, both in our individual lives and together as a body of believers. That is kingdom business. He has entrusted his gospel message to us to make good use of it by learning it, learning how to explain it, and to share it regularly. That is kingdom business. He has placed his Holy Spirit in us to make good use of it, of him, by allowing him to fill us and empower us for service. That is kingdom business. And he has given us each other to make good use of each other, making sure that we meet regularly to encourage and edify and serve with one another. That is kingdom business. And at the end of the day, God wants us to come to him as we are, but not to stay as we are. God is looking for spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. He's looking for a harvest. He's looking for increase. He is looking for a return on his investment. Now, the king in this parable made an investment and wanted a return on his investment. And this parable is telling us today that God has made an investment in our lives, and he wants a return on that investment. The Bible says that one day he is going to do an audit, to give us the ability to give an account of our lives. And so we must go about kingdom business that will generate a return on investment for the King, King Jesus. Now, that great gospel singer Mahalia Jackson had a song called If I Can Help Somebody, which to me was all about kingdom business. And it says this: if I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a good man ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world upwrought, if I can spread love's message as the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. So, Unity, we all must be about kingdom business. God has given you, has given me something to do. Just do it. And when Jesus comes back, he will reward the faithful servants. He will deal with the unfaithful servants, and he will judge his enemies. And at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will balance the accounts and give each of us exactly what we deserve, just like the king in this parable did to his servants. So we know what we must do, and that is to do business until he comes. Kingdom business. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for the ability to do kingdom business. We thank you, Lord God, for the investment that you have made in us. And God, we pledge right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to do what we must, what we are able to do by your mighty power, by your direction, by your spirit, to do. Knowing, O Heavenly Father, that it is you that wants a return on that investment. Father, we thank you for the business of the kingdom, and help us to be good businessmen and businesswomen doing kingdom business. Help us, Lord God, to go along the way. Help us, Lord God, to be able to, as that song said, to help somebody as we pass along, cheer somebody with a word or song, and if someone is traveling wrong, to just show them. So then, our living will have not been in vain. Help us, Lord God, to do kingdom business until Jesus returns. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.